All right. Before we get started, I'd like to have three or four people come up on stage and share one thing you learned from the morning session. Who'd like to come on up to the front? Okay, Susie, great. Come on over here. You want to share?
I don't know what to share. I'm going to say, I can do it.
You can do it. Okay. You can do it. All right. Who would like to come up to the front of the room, share one thing that you learned from the morning session?
Takeaway.
This is the audience participation of our training. Okay, let's have one right here. Okay, great, come on up. Shirley, okay, over here. Okay, over here. These guys can just line up right over there, coming up on the stage. All right, there's the microphone. I think you need to turn it on. All right. Share with our fine folks here. What's one thing that you learned?
Hi, I'm Libby Halevi, and what I learned this morning was about the Excel spreadsheet and actually having a visual representation of where I am with each of the pieces of the sales scripting process, so that I don't have to try and keep it all in my head or on a list, but it's graphically presented and the visual makes a difference for me.
Awesome, great job. Give her a hand.
Hi, my name is Rob Schultz from audaciousaudio.com. The thing that I got out of this morning that is a little strange is I actually like the fact that you actually have to sit down and write these out. I've never had a problem writing copy. I've never had a problem marketing myself through print. I've always had a problem marketing myself one-to-one, person-to-person. So it's extremely helpful to know that a lot of the same skills that I'm using in marketing myself in print, I can create a script and do the same thing to market myself person-to-person.
Awesome, excellent, great job.
Hello, my name is Patricia Delahaire and I'm a nutritionist and health specialist, so I'm very new at all of that. For me, it was a great eye-opening to understand that I can push my business to the way where I want, which is the six figure, using script. And that was just like, wow, I can do that? Okay, even with my French accent, yes, I can write. Thank you.
Excellent.
Hi, everybody. Randy Sotka. I'm with YTB, the travel company. And being in a network marketing and having people to be inviting and not having them show up is one of our industry pitfalls, if you will. What Eric said to me that was an absolute epiphany this morning was they have a mindset that you're there to hard sell them. Now, we know we're not there as a hard sell. We could, you know, we'd love them to join us, but we don't insist and we don't even push for it. But yet, the fact that they think it, we know we don't have that mindset, but they don't know that we don't have that mindset. And I think that's going to change totally the way that I've been approaching people. So thank you, Eric.
Awesome. Great job.
I'm Shirley Benton, and I'm with Isagenics. And I was going to say the Excel spreadsheet, but that's already been taken, but I learned so much this morning already. And what I really did like that you said was about the master file, the master folder, where you have one script.
Yeah.
And because I've created all these scripts, and I've just got Word document, Word document, Word document. And so now I've got about three or four elevator speeches and everything. So now I understand that in order for me to keep all this straight, oh, then that's what I need to do. So, and I do have my script book, so I'm just really excited about what I've done so far.
Awesome, great job, give Shirley a hand. Excellent. The idea that Shirley just talked about of the that master script folder, it's just a subtle little idea. It's just a Microsoft Word folder. We've got zillions of them. But the idea of having one master script, because I've just like Shirley, I've got docs all over the place, and to keep nice and organized so I can get access to the script when I need it. And if I do an updated version, then I get rid of the old one, and now I've got the new updated version. All right, very good. Are you guys ready to go into hyperdrive and have a great second half of the afternoon? Yeah. All right. So Vince, today or tomorrow? Check in with you a little bit later? Okay, sounds good. Okay, we are gonna go to page number, let's see, what page number is that? Yeah, page three. Page three, open up to page three. And we're going to do a very, very important step of the 12 steps. Obviously, we're going to start with step number one. And I'm going to take you through this process. And this is the second most important page in the manual. So, do you guys remember what the most important page is?
38.
Good, page 38. This is, put this down in your notes. Page three is the second most important page in the manual. And it's the top section, which is step one, which is what we're going to do right now. And what I want you to do on the top section, it says, so you got like the bottom section down here, and then it says number one, and it's got the line. You guys with me on that? Yeah. One, two, and the line. And we've got up to 10 of them. Okay, now you see how we got this space over here, we got a little bit of space there. What I want you to do is right above the number one, I want you to put capital T, just like that, in that space there. Put a capital T. And what I want you to put on this side of the capital T, right there, is put 1 year. 1 year. On the right side of the capital T, put lifetime. Lifetime. This is the 1 year value of script number one. This is the lifetime value of script number one. And then two, and then three, and then four, and so forth. Forget about the value for just a second, and we're just going to work on the scripts. So what I'd like you to do in the fill in the blanks on page three, you got 10 fill in the blanks there. The question is, what scripts do you need to create? And on page two, there are some examples of different types of scripts. You may have some scripts that you need that are not on page two. Those are some examples. So why don't you use page two as a template? Ask your brain the question, what scripts do I need to create? Whatever answers come out, I want you to put that down on page three in the 1 through 10. You don't have to get 10. You could have more than 10. And it's okay if you don't come up with all of them right now. But I want you to do the best you can, and I'm gonna give you 5 minutes, and do we have our audio guy? Is he back there? Oh, there you are. Do you have some instrumental music you could put on just real soft in the background? We're gonna take 5 minutes right now, and you're simply gonna do step number one, create the laundry list of scripts that you need for your business. Does everybody understand the instructions?
Yes.
Anybody unclear?
No.
Yes, Scott. That's an excellent question. If he's asking for referrals through email, we'd actually call that script, that'd be copywriting, but you could language it under scripts, that's fine. So here's the question for all of you. If he's asking for referrals front of the room, is that gonna be a different script than if he's asking for referrals via email?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you're gonna have two referral scripts. Email referral script, or you can call it copywriting, front of the room referral script. Great question. Let's take 5 minutes right now, and do the best you can, and it's okay if you don't get all of them, okay? Go ahead and begin. So you're imagining that this script is done, and the question is, how much extra income would you earn in the next 12 months with that script being done? So you're just gonna guesstimate it. It's not an exact science, we're just using our imagination. And then you're gonna think about, how long do you plan on being in business? And let's say it was 10 years. So the future value of the script is 10 years. And if you have a team of people, you're gonna share the script with your entire team. And then their results are gonna be increasing once that's done. So that's what we mean by value. So just ask yourself, if that script was done, how much extra money would it put in my pocket and increase commissions? And then over the course of the lifetime, all right? Yes? Yeah, it's probably, and I think I might have confused people with that. The close is going to be a section of the bigger script, so we're not going to differentiate it. Yeah. So let's just spend a couple more minutes on this. You come up with the scripts, the prioritizing, and the value. We're going to take 2 more minutes on this. Does anybody have a guess on why this is the second most important page in the entire manual? Any guesses?
It's where you start script writing.
It's where you start script writing. Okay, that's a great answer. It's not the right one, but it's a great answer. Okay, that's an excellent answer.
It's in the script.
It's in the script. Right answer, wrong script.
It doesn't get written down, doesn't get done.
Okay, that's an excellent answer.
It actually shows you the value of why you're even doing this. All of a sudden, some thing is starting to look like what could be.
Okay, you're right on track there. You're right on track. Yes?
Step one in the formula.
That's true.
Power suggestion.
Go back to what he just said. Say it again.
Shows you the actual dollar value of what the starting point could be.
Shows you the value, okay, and there's we're right there.
Show you the tool that.
Why is it the motivation? Why is it motivating?
It's the
why of the why.
It's the why of the why.
Shows you what's going to give you the biggest return for the same amount of investment, because it takes exactly the same amount of time to write a script that makes you $10,000 as a script that makes you $100,000.
Okay, that's an excellent answer. I really like that answer.
It also shows you the cost if you don't do it.
That's right. John got the answer. John got the answer. Okay, all the answers were really, really good. All right. I'll tell it to you in just a second. Okay, I'll tell you guys in just a second. I want to point something out to you that it may create an epiphany for you right now. All right, what's that technique I just used? Interest creating remark. I said something, John, to focus your attention and let you know what I'm about to tell you is really, really important. There's two things that motivate us to take action. And I'm going to teach you, I'm going to share it with you in two different viewpoints here, same concept. So Tony Robbins talks about the two things that motivate us, and they are?
Pain
and pleasure. Gaining pleasure, avoiding pain. In NLP, they talk about moving towards what you want or moving away from what you don't want. All right? So here's the question. What's more motivating, gaining pleasure or avoiding pain?
Avoiding pain.
In almost every case, it's avoiding pain. And so what you want to do in your scripts is you want to get people associated to the consequences of not taking action. You want to get them associated to the consequences of not taking action. There's five different types of benefits that we talk about. You don't need to write them down. They're in your manual. One of them is the benefit of taking action, and then the consequences of not taking action. That's actually a benefit. Think about the bailout. How do they sell it to us? The $700 bailout. They said what?
If we don't take action, it'll be worse.
They said, it's a crummy plan, but if we don't do anything, it's going to get a lot worse. Isn't that what they told? Isn't that how they sold it to us?
I don't think they quite admitted it was a crummy plan. But
yeah, but their basic point was, if we don't do this, then what are we going to do? And it was a big influence point that got it pushed through. And I'm not here to say it was good or bad. I'm always looking at the influence part of it. And that's how they got it pushed through. It was the consequences of not taking action. So when you come back to page three, right? When you come back to page three, you're reviewing your notes. How long do I want you to review your notes? For the rest of your life, okay? I'm gonna future pace you right now. You're going to review your notes, and I want you to do this frequently to really soak in this phenomenal knowledge that's available to you. You're going to go to page 38, and you're going to look at the best ideas that you learned, and then you're going to go to page 3. And you're going to look at page 3, and you're going to look specifically at this value part. And every day that goes by that you're not out there taking action on your scripts, I want you to let it soak in that you're leaving money on the table. When you drive out to your presentations, if you drive out and you don't have your scripts done, so you're just basically out there winging it, while you're driving, I want you to think about, you know what, now I'm driving this presentation, I'm winging it, and I'm not going to be at my best because I'm winging it. And I want to get you connected to that to motivate you to take action. You are a script writer. The way that you get better at writing scripts is you practice. You write the scripts and you practice. And every time you do it, you're going to get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. Okay, good stuff. Now, is anybody, did anyone need more time on prioritizing the scripts? Jamie, okay, let's do this. Let's take, we're just gonna, real quick, 3 more minutes, and what I want you to have completed by the end of the 3 minutes, the scripts you need to create, the value, and prioritizing. Now, if you don't complete it in the next 3 minutes, just make that homework for yourself. When you get home tonight, take an extra 5 or 10 minutes and successfully complete page 3. But let's do it right now. 3 more minutes completing the scripts you need to create, the prioritizing of the list, the 1-year value, and the lifetime value. If anyone has successfully already completed that, you could jump ahead to page 5 and start writing probing questions. Even though I haven't trained you on it yet, you can go ahead and just jump to page 5. Don't do it unless you've completed page 3. But that'll be the next exercise that we're going to work on page 5. And what I want to do next, we're going to get into some laundry lists here in a minute, but I want to jump ahead towards the back of the manual and go through a couple of scripting distinctions with you guys on page 27. Page 27 is the start of several definitions of scripting distinctions. There's 18 different distinctions. And so I want to go through a couple of them with you right now. And the first one is number 1, baseline script. We covered that a little bit earlier. It's what you currently say. If you transcribe your presentation, that would be your baseline script. And then number 2 is to reverse engineer your presentation. In other words, begin with the end in mind. Remember the marriage example that I put up on the board? If this is the close, then right before I ask for the order, there's a step. And then right before this step, there's a step. And right before this step, there's a step. All the way back to the beginning. And if you think about when you were a kid, you probably played dominoes, where you line the dominoes up, you had them standing up, and you knocked the first one down, and then they all fell down. Did you guys do that? Play that when you were a kid? Okay. So a sales presentation is very similar, where there's that first step, and then the next step, and then all the way through to the close. So reverse engineer, I want you to know the presentation backwards and forwards, inside and out. And when you know that, it's going to give you tremendous confidence in the sales presentation. So that's what we mean by reverse engineer. Number 3, I want you to just write down that this is a $1 million idea. You can borrow someone else's script. What's interesting about the level 10 exercise that RV did earlier is that I got that exercise, it actually originally came from Tony Robbins, but it wasn't the level 10 exercise, it was different. And what Tony does is this clapping exercise, where when I would work for him, he'd go into this presentation and he'd ask you guys don't have to do this, but he'd ask everyone to stand up. So if I was presenting for Tony, I'd be in a company, and you're all part of the sales team, and I would ask you to stand up, stay seated, and I would say, take your left hand and put it out like this, and I'm going to ask you a question, and then you say yes. Then I'm going to ask you another question, then you say yes. And then we're going to go, yes, 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 whoa, yes. And so I do this exercise, right? And that's Tony Robbins' style. Well, when I started my own company, it wasn't going to work for me to go into a company representing my brand to this yes clap exercise. But it was a really powerful thing because it got the audience involved. They changed their physiology. And so I was thinking, how could I do something similar, but in my way? How could I reinvent it in my way? And so then I came up with the level 10 exercise. And so I want to encourage you to look at other scripts that you see and look for how can you modify them in your way. And I'll tell you a really hot money-making idea for you guys. Is to use internet marketing as one of the tools, email marketing as one of the tools in your sales process. And what you want to create is a folder, a Microsoft Word folder, and mine is called emails. And so we all get marketing emails all the time, right? You all get marketing emails? If you're on my list, you get them fairly frequently. When you get an email that you think is especially persuasive, then I want you to copy and paste it and put it in a Word doc and then save it in your email folder. And so I got this email one time from Jay Abraham. and it was talking about one of his marketing programs, and it was really, really persuasive. So I copied and pasted it, Lee, and I put it in my email folder, and then I just took his concept, and he's all about marketing, and he had marketing programs and mentoring and accountability and so forth. So I rewrote it through the frame of sales. And so I had his best concepts, except instead of marketing, it was sales, and it had my influence on it. So it wasn't Jay's work, it was my interpretation of Jay's work through sales. And when you've seen me send out these wanted sales superstar candidates, wanted coaching candidates, wanted public speaking candidates, that email, I've done multiple versions of it, it's probably generated between 500 and 1,000 leads for me. And the reason why you keep seeing it, if you've seen it more than once, is because it keeps working. And when you find something that works, jot this phrase in your notes. Find simple things that work and do them over and over and over again. Find simple things that work and do them over and over and over again. So one of my clients took my email and he sent it out without changing it. And I'm on his list. So I got the email and I emailed him back and I said, you know, you're being lazy here. You need to change it a little bit. And so that's a really awesome concept. That's what I did with the what level exercise. I made it my own, and it's part of my signature talk. So I want to encourage you to look for ideas in others and then put your stamp on it and make it your own. So borrow other people's scripts. Number 7, I taught this to you earlier, leading language. This is where you leave out a phrase in the sentence so the prospect says the phrase for you. There's a different level of influence when the prospect says the phrase versus you saying it. So Michael, in a second, you're going to say the word millionaire, okay? Michael, if you do what a millionaire does, you get what a millionaire has. If you invest your money where millionaires currently have their money invested, Michael, what will you become?
Millionaire.
A millionaire. Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. He said millionaire because I said the script that caused him to say millionaire. That's leading language. And you want to look for how you can incorporate leading language into what it is that you do. Very powerful scripting technique. Okay, turn the page. Page 28, point number 8, preframe. Let the prospect know in advance what's going to happen. That was the timeshare example. Here at XYZ Timeshares, we don't negotiate price. The price is the price, and we have same-day incentives if you purchase today. So at the end of the presentation, I'll simply ask you if you'd like to move forward. And if you move forward, you'll take advantage of these same-day incentives. That's a preframe. Okay, go to page 29, point 15. To find new words that you use. Some of you in your presentations are using words that aren't common when you're communicating with others. So let me just ask, there was a gentleman that has a water product. How did you describe your water? It was what kind of, you remember how you described it? It was a certain kind of beverage?
Yes, it's a functional beverage.
It's a functional beverage, okay? How many of you know what a functional beverage is by a show of hands? Couple people, okay? So here's the question that you want to ask yourself. When you're communicating with someone else, do they know what a functional beverage is? Well, it depends. If he's talking to a certain group of people, that may be common knowledge for them. Like if I talk about staying in the conversation, probably the majority of you in the room, I've taught that to you before. So you want to define the word first, then you can use it. So you would say something like this. My product is a functional beverage. A functional beverage is da 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 da. Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes sense. Great. And then you can use functional beverage for the rest of your presentation. And so I didn't point that out when you were communicating with me, but it didn't connect because I didn't understand what you were saying. And a lot of times people will just agree with you, like they understand and they don't understand. So my wife and I at one point, we had an au pair that was living with us. And she spoke a little bit of English, but not great English. And so I was taking her to the airport one time, and I said, you know, why don't you go get your luggage and make sure you shut the door. Do you understand? She goes, oh, yeah, I understand. And then she came out with the luggage, and the door was wide open. Because it wasn't comfortable for her to say, I don't get what you're saying. And so in our communication, I could have said it, but I didn't. And so if you're using terms that people are unfamiliar with, make sure that you define the term's first part of selling is education, so people get it. All right, we're going to jump ahead to the bottom of page 29, and I'm going to read to you a script, as best as I remember it, when I bought these glasses. And it's pretty funny what happened. And there's several of the techniques that are in here. And this was through a company called Lens Crafters. And they're not a client of mine, but they hired somebody like me to write their script. Because it was an amazing, amazing script. Because when I went to Lens Crafters, I wasn't looking for a pair of regular glasses. I was looking for a pair of sunglasses. And I have a pair of glasses from Lens Crafters. So I'm going to read this to you and point out some of the points of influence on page 29 at the bottom, glasses case history. I walk in there. I'm interested in getting some prescription sunglasses. Is that something you can help me with? That was my opening sentence. The woman's response was, do you have your prescription with you? And I said, no. Would you like to schedule an eye exam to get a prescription? Okay, I'm walking in for glasses, and immediately she's, would you like to schedule an eye exam to get a prescription? You guys can see where this is going. Yes, how much is it? $54. Would you like to have an eye exam right now? Okay, now she's closing. As simple as that. A lot of closing is just asking. I said, sure. Come on over here. She's leading me. Come on over here and have a seat. I have some paperwork for you to fill out. I fill out the paperwork. Do you have insurance? She asked me. I do, but I don't know if I have a vision plan. Do you have a AAA card? Yes. We can offer you a 30% discount if your insurance plan doesn't cover vision. The exam starts. Did they explain to you how the pricing works? Yes, they told me it would be $54. So here's what happened at this point. I go into the eye exam room, and I'm no longer with the original person. Now I'm with a technician. So the technician asks me, did they explain to you how the pricing works? Yes, they told me it'd be $54. So the guy goes, yeah, that's correct. For our basic exam, price is $54. We also offer a comprehensive exam for $93. He points to a machine that has a picture of a giant red eye behind it. The picture implies the machine will give the doctor some type of advanced look at your eye that changes the color of your eye in some way. I figure, what the heck, for an extra $39, I can get the fancy exam, whatever that is. Now, this is a huge distinction, and this is the psychology of selling. I was buying the premium service just because it was offered, not because I understood what it was. And a lot of times, people would prefer the premium service just because it's available. And some of you, if you own your own business and you're in control of your product line, some of you could create a premium product. You have your base product and you could add another product to your product line, which is one of the ways that you can grow a business. And you could see a nice increase in income. This is one of the things when RV and I worked together, we worked on our product line and we worked on our pricing, and it made her company far more profitable. So it's the script, this little business idea about looking at what your product line is. So for me, the difference between $93 and $54, it was a small enough amount where I just said yes because they offered it. Would you like the comprehensive exam? Okay, so now they're closing. How are they closing? They're just simply doing what?
Asking.
In some cases, that's all you have to do to close, is just to simply ask. Becky, who's in the back doing our video work, that was her close. She just simply asked me. And I said, okay, let's do it. It wasn't some advanced presentation. She was listening and she heard that I had a need, and she came up and she made a very brief presentation and got a yes, and potentially I'll be a client for life for her. And all she had was ask. Would you like the comprehensive exam? Yes. He does the exam. The doctor will see you now. Now it's a third person talking to me. The doctor says, are you here to get a new prescription for your glasses? What brought me in was I wanted to get some sunglasses that are prescription. They told me I needed to get an eye exam. I might also be interested in some contacts as well. Doctor says, let's take a look. She further examines my eyes. I'm going to recommend pupil dilation. It takes about 20 minutes. Once your pupils are dilated, I will examine them again. Would you like me to do the pupil dilation? Sure. While you're waiting, why don't you go and look at some glasses? The doctor hands me off to the fourth person now. Now I'm with another woman. This is the fourth person that I've been in contact with. They know exactly what they're doing. What was amazing about this script is that there was four different people involved. To have this quality of a script with one person is good. To have four people, I was blown away at how powerful the script was. So now they do the pupil dilation, and then she just simply makes a suggestion. Why don't you go look at some glasses, right? Well, they know full well. Like when the gentleman asked, did they tell you how much the exam was? And I said, yeah, $54. He knows I'm going to say that. And then he knows he's going to say, yeah, that's for the basic exam, but then there's the comprehensive. They didn't tell you about the comprehensive? Well, he knows they didn't tell about the comprehensive. Well, here's how the comprehensive is. Would you like to do that? Oh, sure. I'm going to recommend pupil dilation. Would you like pupil dilation? It's just a suggestion. No arm twisting here. Okay, go to page 31. The script is working perfectly. Each person knows their job. I'm now with the closer. She informs me that my prescription has slightly changed, and I will now need a new pair of glasses as well as the sunglasses. Basically, what she said was, you want the sunglasses, right? Yeah. Well, if we give you the sunglasses, it's going to be a little bit different prescription than your glasses. So that's not going to work. So she basically sold me these glasses with the consequences of not taking action. It was a takeaway. Eric, you want the sunglasses, right? Yeah, well, to get the sunglasses, then you have to buy these. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Let's take a look at some frames. She leads me to the regular frames and the sunglass frames. We pick out several pairs. She compliments me on how good I look in glasses. She tells me I can wear almost any pair and I look great. I'm feeling great now. Okay, I want you to make a note here. It's the word flattery. Flattery is one of the most persuasive scripts that you can use. And we don't want to make up, we don't want it to be phony. We want to point it out where we truly see something in someone else, you know, that we think is good or we respect or we admire. Then you point that out. And people love it when you tell them how wonderful they are or, you know, how great they look or whatever the case may be. And so she says this to me, now I'm feeling great. We sit down and I start to ask her about prices. My budget in mind is $200. If it costs me more than $200, I'm going to walk. She lets me know that I can have a 6-month same as cash plan on approval with zero down. I can even finance the $93 eye exam. She asks me if I'd like to apply. I tell her yes. So again, it's an asking close. All they're doing throughout is they're just making reasonable requests at a reasonable time. Reasonable requests at a reasonable time. She gathers the information to run my credit. She gets approval 8 seconds later. She tells me my credit is so good I got instant approval. Again, I feel great. I start to think, forget about $200. I have 6 months same as cash. That's practically free. I'm now in the shopping mood. I ask her how much the sports goggles are. She tells me $119. I grab a pair off the shelf and put them on the desk. She lets me know my current frames will work or I can get a brand new frame for only $53. She adds it all up. The total is $727.63. She is silent. Okay, I'll take it. I walked into the store to inquire about getting some prescription glasses. I walked out of the store the proud owner of a new pair of sunglasses, a new pair of glasses, a pair of sports goggles, and I still need to get my contacts. That will probably be another $100. This was not a word-for-word script. It was several scripts inside of one big script. What makes it work is the syntax, or another word for syntax is the order that the script goes in. Isn't that powerful? And here's the thing. I knew every single thing they were doing, because I teach this stuff. Okay? And some of you might have a fear of, well, if I start using this, the other person's going to know what I'm doing. And you don't have to have any fear around that. Because at the end of the day, I wanted the glasses. And they were helping me get what it is that I wanted. And I happily paid it. And I'm still looking back, and I'm glad that I went in there and got the glasses. Because they gave me what it is that I wanted.
Did she ask you what you did for a living?
I don't think she did. I don't think she did. It's always interesting when a salesperson ask me what I do and they find out that I sell. Sometimes they just immediately become intimidated and they're afraid to ask for the order, and other times it doesn't faze them at all. Was there a question in the back? Yes.
Seems like if they actually knew what you were doing, they would respect you more for being able to do it.
Yep, that's possible. Yes?
This exact circumstance happened to me for the same amount of money, the
same
scenario.
Yeah.
So I'm totally associated.
Yeah. 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 When you bought your glasses, the original presentation was not with Costco, it was with a different company.
Lenscrafters,
yeah. These guys are serious closers. Yeah. Yeah. If they added that in, yep. Okay.
And I only spent $200 there and $800
at Lenscrafters. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, when I got home, I was so excited to tell my wife about my glasses, and I didn't mention the fact that it was $727, and so she's the one that opens the mail, and so 30 days later, you know, she's got the bill. Honey, did you want to tell me something? They were really good salespeople. I had to get the glasses, and she said the same. We should have gone. You go to Costco. You can get a better price. So, yes.
What got me was that it's really a series of small sales to end up with the big ticket.
Yep.
Right.
And that could, I think that could be applied to anybody's process, whether it's a big ticket at the end or whatever it is, just taking and making sure the sale is secure and cemented each step of the way through the process.
Yep.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. This is a reverse engineer. That the end result, they know what they want to have happen. And then right before that, right before that, right before that, right, and all the way through. And it's just one person after another walking in on the mall, right into that sales funnel. You don't know what hit you when you walked in there. Yes?
How soon did you get your glasses?
Right there.
In about an hour.
I think I probably took them home or came back the next day and got them. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. Yes? Yeah.
That show that Lenscrafters had the worst prescription accuracy in terms of prescription.
Okay.
The cost of their glasses are more than most other places.
Yeah, it's a great point about we think everything is so price sensitive.
It's not.
Yeah, people, what they're buying, they're not buying price. They're buying a result. There's something that they're looking for.
Benefit.
I was looking for prescription sunglasses, and they showed me a series of benefits. Yeah. Okay, yes, David.
You went through the Gruber 10 years ago, you guys started that.
Yeah.
That's where they got that predictable result.
With Lenscrafters?
Yeah.
David's saying that someone high up with Lenscrafters went through Michael Gerber's training
about
10 years ago and learned this. And this is, I've read to you guys out of the E-Myth before. And Gerber talks about the importance of sales scripting and having all this mapped out, exactly what it is that I'm teaching you guys. Okay, good stuff. All right. What we're going to do next, we're going to work on a laundry list right now. And we're going to do a quick section on page 4. Identify customer needs. That's one of your 5 laundry lists. This top of page 4. The easiest way to persuade or influence someone is to find out what they want and give it to them. Identifying customer needs is similar to a process, similar to a doctor identifying what's wrong with you if you're sick. Think of the process. Doctor begins by establishing rapport, hopefully. Then the doctor asks you a series of questions. Identify the true need, underline true need. This is a direct quote from Dr. Moyne. Identify the true need of your prospect, and your presentation becomes almost irresistible. Your presentation becomes almost irresistible. Key question, what is your true need in regards to blank? What is your true need in regards to sales training? Then fill in the blank whatever you do. What is your true need in regards to improving your management team? What is your true need in regards to a home-based business? What is your true need in regards to your financial investments? You plug in what you do, and that becomes one of your questions. What is your true need in regards to your photography needs? And then you listen. And then they reveal that to you. Add in this question on page 4. What's most important to you about ... What's most important to you about a coaching relationship? What's most important to you about the purchase of a new car? What's most important to you about the sale of your home? What's most important to you about fill in the blank, whatever it is that you do? People make buying decisions in patterns. This is the buyer fingerprint distinction. Human beings, we all have a fingerprint. It's unique to each of us. People make buying decisions in patterns. So they have a buyer fingerprint. There's a way that they make decisions about how they buy. Some people like to pay all cash. Some people like to finance. Some people like to make payments. Some people like to buy used. Some people like to buy top of the line. Some people like a deal. Some people like to buy on Craigslist. Some people like to go to garage sales. So we have these buyer fingerprints of how we make buying decisions. So what if you were selling to somebody and you determined what their buyer fingerprint was early on in the presentation, way before you got to the close? And you understood their buying criteria. Back to the singles scripts, those of you that are single and looking for that special someone. When you can elicit someone's buyer fingerprint in terms of relationships and get them to reveal to you what's most important, it is incredibly, incredibly persuasive. You understand about this other person and what's most important to them. The way to identify your prospects by your fingerprint is to ask them questions about how they've made buying decisions in the past. So the first property that my wife and I bought, we met with a real estate agent. It was a condo about 10 years ago in San Diego, and we both met with the real estate agent. After that, I did not meet with the real estate agent again until my wife had found the property that she wanted. And we had an agreement on what we were willing to invest in the property. It was around $110,000. This is for a two-bedroom condo. Prices were, well, it's probably about the same as what they are now. So we both meet with the real estate agent, and then the real estate agent sets several appointments. My wife and he, they drive all over town. They look at all these properties. And then my wife finds the one that she wants, and she says, I found the one I want. I want to show you the property. And so we go and we look at it, and we had our budget. And do you think the property was under the budget, at the budget, or over the budget? Yeah, you met my wife before. It was over the budget. And so I said to her, honey, is this the one that you want? Yeah, it's the one I want. Is this the one that's going to make you happy? Yeah, this is the one that's going to make me happy. So then we stretched, and we bought the property. My buyer fingerprint, my criteria was, does she want it, and is it the one that's going to make her happy? That's what was important to me. Okay? Okay? So we bought the property, and then when my son was born, we wanted to get a house. You know, the American dream, you have family, and you get a house, and so we sold the condo and we bought a house. And we had an agreement on how much we were willing to invest, and we met with the real estate agent again, and And then we both met with the agent, and then she drove all over town, found the house that she wanted, came to me and said, this is the one that I want. I want you to take a look at it. And you think it was under the amount that we agreed on, at the amount, or over the amount? What do you think? Over the amount, that's right. And so then we went and looked at it, and I said, honey, is this the one that you want? Yes. Is this the one that's going to make you happy? Yes, we stretched and we bought it. And we've done that now 3 times. You see the pattern there?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say you're a real estate agent, and you're selling to us. Wouldn't you want to know that early on in the sales process?
Yeah.
See? So what you would repeat back to me, so you would say, so Eric, what's most important to you, it sounds like we'll come up with an amount that would work, but it doesn't have to be that amount. Like if it goes a little bit over, if it's the one that your wife really wants, that would be okay. Is that true? And I would say, yeah, that's true. Great. And Eric, if I'm hearing you correctly, what you'd like me to do is your wife and I will go look at different properties. And then when we find one that she really wants, at that point, you'd like to be involved in the process. Is that true? And I'd be like, yeah, you understand me. And so then when she's out driving around with my wife, or he's out driving around with my wife, showing my wife properties, that she could use that script of my wife and say, you know, this one's a little bit more than your budget, but if this is the one you really want, you can just let your husband know that and he'll buy it. That's buyer fingerprint. So Mike, when you're selling home-based business, have you ever been involved in home-based business before? A lot of people have, okay? The last one that you got involved with, why did you get involved with that? What was important to you? Did you put on a credit card? How did you come up with the money for that? Was anyone else involved in the buying decision? Was it you and your wife that were both involved, or was one more involved than the other? And then you know exactly how to cater that presentation. It's almost unfair, these techniques. And here's the great news. As long as your intent is correct, it serves you and it also serves the customer. If a real estate agent uses this technique with me, I'm thrilled because I get to be involved at the end where I'm interested in being involved, and I don't want to be involved in the rest of it. So you're actually providing value to everyone, and you're influencing at a very deep level. So what if you identify these probing questions in advance of the presentation, and then when you went and delivered the presentation, you had all these phenomenal probing questions right there at your fingertips? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes.
You guys can do that. Okay, then it says, key idea, identify the questions that you're going to ask your prospect prior to the sales call. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Do you think most salespeople have identified the probing questions that they're going to ask before the call starts?
No.
No, they just go in there and they wing it. And they wonder why they're getting wing-it results. But you guys aren't going to do that. You're going to go in with the questions prepared. Now watch how cool this is. Here's the script on page 4. For me to best help you, Mr. Prospect, I need to ask you a few questions. Would that be okay? And what are they going to say to that? Yes! Thank you! Finally, somebody that's going to find out what's important to me before they try to deliver their presentation. The customer is going to appreciate the fact that you asked that question. And then you can say something along these lines. For me to best help you, I've created a list of questions to go over with you. Would it be okay if I went over these questions and took notes? So what that script just says is, in preparing for our meeting today, David, if I'm selling to you over the phone or face-to-face, in preparing for our meeting today, David, what I've done is I've taken the time to prepare a list of questions to ask you so I can best help you. With your permission, I'd like to go through these questions and take some notes so I can best help you. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
I just got permission. I don't even have to have it memorized. I can have it right there on the sheet and they'll appreciate it. Isn't that powerful?
Yep.
That's so powerful. It is so powerful. Okay, so what we're gonna do is there's an outcome in identifying customer needs. Okay, one question, then we'll move on. Yes?
Wasn't a question, it was a comment that somebody told me once, that when you do that in a sales meeting, regardless of where it is, when they see you taking notes and they're saying this, it's telling them that what you have to say is really important. And the more they see you taking notes, the more they want to tell you, because they say, wow, this guy values what I have to say. And
yeah.
Back and you just give it back to them, what they told you, and they say, wow, this guy understands me perfectly. He just told you.
That's right. That's right. What do people love to talk about?
Themselves.
So get them talking about themselves. And then they'll really, really like you, and they'll say, oh, you're such a good listener. Okay, one more question. Yes?
What was the part about the intent being correct as long as your intent is correct?
Well, I think I was talking about in how you use these techniques. Using them to serve. Using them to help people. Because you could use these techniques. Let's say you're in financial services, right? And there's a certain product that if the person buys this product, you get a huge commission. And it's not the best product for the client, but you get a really big commission for selling it. And there's nothing wrong with selling a product that gives you a really big commission, but it's coming first from serving the client. What's the right product for that client? And it doesn't mean that you need to charge the lowest price either, because you can charge a fair price, but it's about serving that client. And so that's what the comment was. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's kind of the foundation of our financial crisis today.
Yeah, why are we in this big mess? Because a bunch of people got greedy, right? And they were selling products that they knew were junk, and they were putting people in these bad loans. If you went to the really smart loan people that were approving all these loans years ago, I can almost assure you they could have predicted what's happened, has happened. Oh yeah, just wait until that thing bursts. When that thing bursts, and now, you know, they got all the money. So it's, yeah, good point. There's an outcome in identifying customer needs. And the outcome is to find where they have a need. Okay, I want you to put this in your notes. The satisfied man does not buy. The satisfied woman does not buy. Satisfied man doesn't buy, the satisfied woman doesn't buy. I was on a call with someone in this room recently, and their exact words to me were, I am not satisfied. That's what they told me. If you're trying to sell to somebody and they're satisfied, they're doing great, why would they buy? You have to help find an area where they have dissatisfaction and show them how you can meet that need with your product or service. I'm just going to take you off track here for 1 second, give you a quote from Dr. Moyne. Dr. Moyne says dissatisfaction is your friend on a personal level. Dissatisfaction is your friend because where you're dissatisfied is what's going to change in your life. Dissatisfaction is the rocket fuel for motivation for you. That's what's going to help you get these scripts done. That's why I want you to go back to page 3 and let it soak in the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in sales that are sitting on the table, that once the scripts are done, you'll realize that and get dissatisfied with not having the scripts done to motivate you to get them complete. Okay, we're going to go to page 5, and I'm going to give you a 5-minute exercise, and I want to challenge you to get as many probing questions created as possible. Page 5 is blank, and Dr. Moyne just walked in the room. You're hearing me quote you. Everybody turn around and say, hi, Dr. Moyne. Hi. All right. He's here to sit in on our afternoon session, part of it, and you guys are just really in for just an awesome treat. Anytime you have a chance to spend some time with him and learn from him, it's just an awesome, awesome opportunity. So I'm excited for you guys for that for tomorrow. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take 5 minutes, and I want to challenge you to see if you can come up with at least 7 probing questions. Okay? I want to challenge you to see if you can come up with at least 7 in the next 5 minutes. All right?
To our first script.
Let me backtrack. Before we do this, I need you to pick a script that you're going to work on between now and the end of tomorrow. I want you to take one script that you're going to work on between now and the end of tomorrow. And for probing questions, you're not going to have questions if you're doing a front of the room talk. This style of questions. There's other questions that you'd use in a front of the room talk. This would be for a one-on-one, over the phone, or face-to-face. That's the type of question. So pick one script where you're going to ask a series of questions to identify customer needs. And then we're going to take 5 minutes and see if you can come up with at least 7. And maybe a few of you will come up with 10. Or 12, or maybe even 15 in the next 5 minutes. All right, you have 5 minutes. Go ahead and begin. How many of you have some good questions that you can now use in your scripts moving forward by a show of hands? How long can you use those questions for?
Never.
For the rest of your life. And then as you're out in presentations and people are selling to you, and they ask you a really good question, even if it's in a different industry, you can borrow that script. And then where are you going to put all these probing questions? In your Word doc, in your computer. So you're going to permanently keep it there. As long as you back it up in case your computer crashes, then you still got them. All right? Now, we have a special guest presenter. We're going to hear from one of the top salespeople in the world. One of the top salespersons in all of the entire world. He's here. His name is Vince Gaudy. And Vince is a student of mine and Dr. Moines. And one of the things I want you to take away from Vince is his commitment to excellence. At his company, they have 3,500 salespeople. Vince is in the top one half of 1%. He's been there for 12 and a half years consecutively. And this is, I added up that I can remember, Vince, this is the fifth time that you've come out from Chicago to train with either myself or with Dr. Boyne and myself or with Tony Martinez. And so he lives in Chicago, and he's hopped on a plane five different times. So he's got the airfare plus the hotel plus whatever the tuition is for the class. That's how important this knowledge is to him. And I want you to really think about your commitment to this knowledge and what it could mean to you. And so Vince has some ideas to share from the perspective of someone who's out, someone just like you guys, out selling every single day. And I asked him to share some concepts that can help you from the perspective of someone who's making it happen in the field. So please help me give an awesome warm welcome to Vince Gaudy.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
It's been great California weather. I expected to come here, it would be much warmer than it is. I got this in Chicago. Yeah? What I'm here to talk to you about is really observing the unobservable and share with you some of my powerful listening secrets. And we're talking about scripts today, and scripts are very, very important. And I've written many, many scripts. You know, you can spend thousands of dollars in the scripts. However, if you don't use your ears and listen to what your clients are saying, you're going to really miss some of the cues to close that sale or double or triple that sale. And by listening to your clients and what they're saying is really going to allow your script to be used much more effectively, because a script is one where we're talking, but just as important is to be listening. How do you turn your ears into the eyes of a detective? And what are those people out in the field doing that you may not do? What makes them more effective? Often it's what they're listening to. You know, when we're with our clients, we often, you know, we're distracted by email, the buzz of the office, or driving, or doing this and that. And we're really not taking the time to focus on what our client is saying at hand. We're on the phone with a prospect. We're meeting a prospect. And all of us have to use the phone, correct, to originally make that initial point of contact, for the most part? So how do we make that more effective? We need to give our attention to the client. And a call really takes focus and will. Focus on what that client has to say, and then also action. We can all take action, right? Picking up the phone, dialing it up, that's taking an action. But are we being very effective with that? Are we closing the sale? Do we have a qualified prime appointment? Are we building rapport on a consistent and, most importantly, a successful basis? And why this is powerful, these are observations I've made over almost, you know, 19, 20 years. I've spoken to over 150,000 different people in my career, okay? Everybody see the movie Boiler Room with Ben Affleck? I've been a penny stock salesman. I've sold rocks at takeout odors. How many of you know Kevin Trudeau? All right, I used to work for Kevin Trudeau when he was doing Mega Memory with Danny Bonaducci, working the graveyard shift. So, except in his infomercials back then, they had no price. So you'd call now to find out more information. You have to sell them a $159 product. So I've done that. Coupons, you might see people selling, I've sold things like belt sets, calculators, flashlights, going to the backs of factories. Never to individuals, but to consumers. So you go into the, like Scott has a business in a strip mall, an industrial park, door to door. Pull in the door, hey, I work for a wholesale company. So the listening thing, the listening secrets that I have and being on the phone with all this time, this is where this background comes from. And what's really important is that often a lot of the things I'm going to talk about, you're probably already doing in your life. But how do you take what you're doing in your personal life and apply in your business life? You'll see that you can take these concepts that you're already using and apply it in your business life to become even more successful. I'm going to share with you 5 of my 7 secrets. And the other 2, I'd be happy to talk with you after class. The first one is. That's right. Tune your outside environment out. Tune your outside environment out. One of the key ways to do that is invest in a dual headset earphones, both ears. And the reason why I say that is, it stops you from becoming distracted. If you're in an office environment, your home environment, you hear a lot of different things going on. You know, do you really care about the gossip that's going around in your office? It's fun and exciting, not going to make you any money. By having that headset in, it tunes the environment out. Think about this. Think about when you're using your iPod, right? It's in both your ears. You forget about the world outside you, right? You're so enthralled and focused into what is going into your brain, you don't even know. You've ran through stop signs if you're working out, you forgot about the phone, all these different things. So when you think about that, that's the same thing you're going to be doing with your client. You're going to have focused out everybody to focus simply on what they're trying to say. Number 2, what is going on in the background with your client? What do you hear? You know, if you ask them to get a pen, okay, you know what, can you write this down? What do you hear in the background? Are they shuffling through papers? Are they opening up drawers? It shows that they're, are they organized or unorganized? Right? Something simple. When you're talking to them, are they typing, not paying attention to you, or are they listening? What about, what type of office environment in? Is it really noisy in the background? You kind of hear the buzzing in the office? Well, are they an executive? Maybe not. Are they in a closed environment, where they might be an executive that you'd be talking to, a decision maker? If you find yourself on speakerphone, immediately identify who else might be in the room, because it's going to help you tailor your pitch to everybody in the audience. So you don't say either anything inappropriate or also able to include them on a phone. If you're calling them, are you calling them on a mobile number or a landline? Is it really the most, is it the best place to make the presentation you're trying to do? Now, it may be the only opportunity to do that, but can you find another opportunity for a safer opportunity so you can have their complete attention? And by tuning into what's going on in the background is really going to allow yourself to be with the client, because what it's going to allow you to do is make comments on what's happening. You can hear people talk. You can hear the music going. If they're in a car, you hear the ambulance going by. Hey, what is that? And so they feel like you're in the seat next to them. And it's just as important as if you're in front of them. And often we forget that we can be in front of that person simply by you listening. Number 3, listen to what is not being said. We've all done our presentations enough. Are they not asking questions when they should be questions? Are they not being on the record? Are they not listening? Do you hear them being distracted? You've all been through your presentations enough, you should know, or you're learning to do, where the questions and what they should be asking. And if you don't, go back and practice on your script to make sure that when you're going through this, they're asking what should be said. They're answering what should be said. They're asking the questions you expect them to ask. Number 4, listen. Silence is golden. Silence is golden. When you ask a question, wait for a response. When Eric had brought up the eye exam, if he was quiet for a few minutes and said, do you want the comprehensive or the regular exam, doesn't mean he was going to say no. Maybe you said, you know what, what's the math on that? It's $39? Okay, I can afford that. But how many salespeople do you know that might say, oh, is that too expensive for you? Yes, I'll just take the regular exam. So by asking a question, listen, he who speaks first loses. When I was selling infomercial products, Mega Memory, Ellen Kreidman, Light His Fire, Light Her Fire, Dr. Duarte's Natural Health product, we'd go through that elegant dancing back and forth, and you'd go for the close, ask the question, be quiet. Because what are they thinking about to help them make their decision? You don't know, only they can decide. Think about this. Kind of uncomfortable silence, isn't it? That was 10 seconds. A lot of people want to speak up. You let that silence be with that customer, they're going to feel they have to answer. And there sometimes is that misinterpretation. Are you waiting for me? Am I waiting for you? And you can say, I'm just waiting to hear what your response is. Because it leads them to answering. So listen, silence is golden. You're not going to talk yourself out of a sale by being quiet. The fifth thing, in regards to personal information, take down all that personal information. Listen to what that client is saying, and do not let anything else interrupt you. And you'll know when a client is really telling you personal information because you've done this in your own life. You know what? Hold on a second. Let me close the door. Let me see if anybody's around. Right? So you know that this is the time that you're going to build that rapport. When you're with your own friends, your family, they're going to tell you a secret or tell you something personal, right? They don't want you to share. Not a lot of people know. Their tone's going to change. Their voice is going to change. Their inflection is going to change. And the same thing's going to happen with your client. What you want to do, and this is very, very important, is not only have the focus, but these are things you don't want to do. You're on the phone with a client and your other line rings, do not pick it up. It doesn't matter if it's your largest client, because the person on the phone may be your next largest client. If your wife calls, let it ring. If your boss calls, let it ring. If your executive VP calls, let them go into voicemail. She'll be happy you're out there closing a sale. Your wife will be happy you're out there making money. It doesn't matter if they call back 3 times, because 10 or 15 minutes is not going to kill them. And if it does, they should be calling 911 and not you anyway. So when they're telling you that information, take it in. Things not to do. Do not type. Right? We're in front of our computer. We're on the phone. We're on a headset. We have it there. We want to take notes. What does it sound like if you're typing? Annoying. You're not paying attention. I'm not important. Everybody wants to feel unique. Everybody wants to feel special. You know what they're doing if they're typing. They sure as hell ain't listening to you. So write down your notes. Transcribe them later. Let that be. And just because they're sharing personal information does not mean you need to share that personal information back. Sometimes it's that rhetorical question. They're just letting you know. Take it all in. Save it for later. It might be a birthday. It might be my wife is pregnant. You know, all types of different things. It could be from, you know what, I'm having marital problems too, here's my favorite team. But it can be in all different types of personal information. And you know what, here's another one, don't go to the bathroom, hold it. If you're going to make a call and you think it's going to be an important call, go first. It sounds silly, but I've actually seen people in my rows get up. So why'd you kill the call? It was going well, so I had to go to the bathroom. I said, you think about that before you started the call. Lastly, in conclusion, looks can be deceiving. That saying goes, looks can be deceiving. Your ears can tell you more than your eyes will. Often we're in face-to-face meetings, we go by what we can see, not what we can hear. And how often have you said, you know what, you look good, but you don't sound too well. The voice will be congruent with what the body language is. You can see over the phone. You can see them smile. You can hear their tone. Use the things when you're talking to your own friends and family that you know how they are, right? If somebody was to call you up now in an upset mood or in a very happy mood, you know exactly what they look like. You can never have met the person before, right, on the phone, and that same look is universal. Take what you're doing every day in your personal life and apply it to your business life. You'd be amazed at the results that you see. Thank you very much.
All right. Those are some great tips, Vince. First time I'd heard that bathroom technique. I hadn't heard that one before. That was a new one. Good point. We're going to take a break.